you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. It's Friday, April 1st, 2016. I already know the title of today's broadcast just from your prayer and our conversations, Rolling Away the Stones. I'm still reveling in Wednesday's program, and if you didn't get a chance to tune in, whether it was at 7:32 a.m. or p.m. Central Time, I invite you to listen to it, because Jason kind of rolled away the stone of some of the happenings in his family and Jacob's heart. The stone was rolled away as it was tenderized and softened as he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into his heart, and he was baptized on Easter Sunday. What a celebratory time to be dedicated to the Lord, and for many of us to renew our faith and to be excited. And as you were talking about rolling away the stone, I was thinking about even this book of Acts, where the beginnings of the church, because that stone was rolled away, not just because it was rolled away, it's so we could look in and see that there was no body, that our risen and reigning and sovereign Lord, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, had rose from the dead and is seated now at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, interceding on our behalf. And exciting times that we live in. And
it's so exciting, because today we're going to be wrapping up our study of the book of Acts.
I mean, that would be a miracle.
After so long, today we're going to finish off the book of Acts, and we'll finally be done. We want to thank you for being along with us in this study of the book of Acts.
Is it 2018?
It's April Fool's Day, isn't it?
That's right.
April Fool's.
Yeah.
People right now are like, yay!
Yeah.
Oh.
Or there'll be, maybe they had traveled away for a few weeks in our home from their spring break and all that, and they're like, what happened? Well, how much material did they cover the last few weeks? So, yes, we will find ourselves in chapter 21. In fact, in verse 27, when the 7 days were nearly over, some Jews from the province of Asia saw Paul at the temple. And we'll talk a little about that. And as has been mentioned many times, we're 6 days out from our big event. And I keep saying big event, but I think it's going to be a big event, because God's going to be there through so many of the believers gathering through the program that we've been praying over for many weeks and months. Dr. Lutzer has a powerful message about today, tomorrow, and the future. And that'll fit really well with our theme as we look forward to seeing what God's going to do in the future. And yet we'll recount some of the wonderful ways He's provided and worked through this ministry, and just the singing men and the theater troupe. Oh, that was the other, rolling away the stone. I was thinking, in light of Jacob's baptism and some of the things that we've been talking about, how even through the baptism, how some of the water splashed on you and it kind of revealed some things and areas you want to grow in. And I was thinking, what sometimes happens, you have that powerful transformational moment or conviction of the Holy Spirit, and you want to grow, you want to kind of set your face to move forward on whatever, set your face on flint. What's that one verse where Jesus Christ, you know, even though he knew what lay before him, he was determined to fulfill God's
set
purposes.
Set out resolutely to Jerusalem.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking we can find maybe conviction or a transformational power that we're going to change. And you know, Wednesday's program, I think, was filled with, you know, you recounting some of just how God was working that transformational work in Jacob's life and so forth. And I was thinking it was very moving and touching. And yet I'm thinking about the theater troupe. They're going to do a little drama on the Screwtape letters and how Satan would try to keep us preoccupied or entertained by life, or not allowing those Holy Spirit seeds to not only grow and be birthed in us, but to come to fruition. And I was just thinking how oftentimes we can be consumed by other things, lesser things, that'll compete for our time, energy, our thought life, and we won't be able to process or move forward. And so I would hope, whether it was Wednesday's broadcast when you were tuned in, if God spoke to your heart, don't allow all the circumstances of life to compete or crop in and diminish maybe some of those seeds that God was sowing. And so I was just thinking about that myself as you were talking about rolling away the stones, that, you know, when we have that experience with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you with this newfound passion, you've had always a pretty strong passion to witness and to testify to God's goodness, but it's kind of been rekindled. And so how oftentimes when God rekindles something, that things can thwart it or frustrate it or derail it. And so I was just thinking, you know, how important even for myself to remain faithful and studying His Word, proclaiming the Lord Jesus Christ, and allowing Him to live and work through me.
Yeah, well, I would agree. I would agree. The closer you want to get to Christ, the closer you need to get to His Word and to prayer and to those disciplines that are going to keep you in that place. It's going to help you to remain in the place that you were when you were called. And so we need to be very careful about those things. I think that sometimes the unfortunate thing is that people get saved and they kind of get up on that big wave and, you know, and they go to church more. Or they'll attend things that are feel Christian because they've entered this kind of new world and this new culture, but they won't really get into the core disciplines of what being a disciple becomes. And I think that some of that largely, too, falls on those of us who have led them to the Lord and who have not discipled them. I mean, I told Jacob that, hey, you know what, on the back end of this, I just want you to understand it. Now we're going to read the Bible together more, and we're going to study more in depth what God's Word is saying to us, because now you're a disciple of Christ. You're no longer simply somebody I'm witnessing to. Now you're somebody I'm discipling, and that relationship changes. You know, it says in the Bible that Jesus called to Him those that He wanted, and they came to Him, and He appointed them. I said, Jesus has called you, and you have been appointed, and now it's our job to walk along with the Lord Jesus Christ, and for you to grow in grace and knowledge, and for you to be brought up in the faith, so that when that day comes where it will be tough to stand, you will be able to stand because of the work that's been done, the foundation that's been built. And so, yeah. So, I mean, now he's a disciple. And so he asked me if he gets a robe, which is like my son to say something like that. But, you know, he's all in. He loves the Lord, and he just wants to, you know, and he told some of his friends at school about it. And I thought, gosh, now you're witnessing. How amazing is that, you know? And it just made me think that not only does the stone get rolled away, but it rolls downhill and it starts hitting people. You know, it starts impacting others. And so how amazing that is. And that's why it's so important. That's why I think that, you know, for me as a pastor, for my time here on the radio program, that we open the Bible and we go in. I know that I go to BSF and every week, at least every week, if not every 2 weeks, 2 weeks for sure, but every week almost, Elmer Zuhls pulls me aside and he always says, you know what, I just so appreciate that you always talk about the Bible. You don't talk about all kinds of peripheral stuff. You talk about the Bible. And I appreciate that Elmer says that to me, because it's an affirmation of the fact that that's what's near and dear to my heart, that I'm not making this up. It comes from the Bible. We're in the Bible, in the parts that are joyful and encouraging, in the parts that are hard and are tough. Because life isn't always joyful and encouraging. Sometimes life is hard and tough. And we need to be in God's Word, and we need to be growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through His revealed Word. That's why He gave it to us. And so,
and for those of you that are tuned in maybe for the first time, we've been in this book of Acts a year or two now.
Yeah.
And we're in chapter 21, and we love going verse by verse, word by word sometimes, because this is living and breathing, and we always pray beforehand that the Holy Spirit will use the dividing of His Word, the talking about it, to bring conviction or hope or a personalized message. This is God's love letter to each and every one of us. It's always consistent. You always want to interpret Scripture with other Scriptures, and we try to do a good job as we walk through it to reference how this is consistent with other teachings of Paul or the other writers of Scripture, all breathed by the Holy Spirit into these men's minds and preserved these many years so that we can look at this Word and know what God would have to say to us. And so our prayer for you now is, Jason would open up, beginning at verse 27, and open up our time of prayer, that God would speak to you very specifically, that something might be answered, or you would get greater clarity, or most importantly, you would just be drawn to God in a unique way, because He will woo you to Himself. He loves you, He cares for you, and this is a written record of His demonstration of that love, and yet it's filled with teaching and examples and modeling so that we know how to best serve humanity and follow the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that You have revealed it to us, that You've breathed it out onto the pages of our Bibles, and that it is You speaking to us, that it's living and active and sharper than a double-edged sword. We thank You that it pierces our unbelief, that it cuts our doubt in half, and where faith remains. And we thank you, Father, that you are a good God who gave us a great Savior. And, Father, we pray for the ways that even today this message that comes from your word, a message from you, would change lives and mend hearts and shape believers, conform them more into the image of Jesus Christ. And we pray these things in his mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
So, yeah, we're in Acts 21 and beginning in 27, but actually we'll start in 26 just to give us a picture of what's going on. Now, the church in Jerusalem, Paul has come back from his missionary voyage, and he's recounted to them all the mighty things that the Lord did. I mean, just what a great picture of testimonies and how important they are in the church, telling the story of faith and how God is shaping our lives and moving in the lives of those people around us. We need to tell those stories. We need to write them down and keep them. I know that First Baptist Church in Savoy, when I was there, at one point they had like a book that they had done on all their senior saints, giving like their testimonies of their lives. And it was a pretty thick book, and it was really fascinating to read through it and see how they did such a great job of capturing people's lives and testimonies. You know, and so that the younger generation could pick that up and read about somebody who had passed away and how they had lived faithful lives and loved the Lord and served their communities well. And so Paul comes back and he recounts those stories, and the church is just praising God for the work that Paul has done as he's been out on this missionary voyage, going to various places and enduring various hardships for the cause of the gospel, for the sake of the gospel. And he comes back, and the church says, now we realize that you being back here is going to be difficult for some people because you've had such an impact. You've been so impactful. You are now in the limelight. So this is what we would like you to do. As a man beneath the authority of the church, we're making this suggestion. We talked about it last week. Or a number of weeks ago, actually, I think it was, because we did Good Friday last week. But a number of weeks ago, we talked about the fact that Paul was a man under authority. Even though Paul was this, I mean, Paul was like the Billy Graham of his day. I mean, Paul was preaching, and people were coming to saving knowledge and faith. And so Paul came back to the church, and he could have easily said, you know what, I'm a big fish in this little pond. But instead, Paul says, no, no way, I'm a man beneath authority of the church.
And that authority wanted to bring clarity, because there was some controversy because he was reaching the Gentiles, and this was in Jerusalem, the Jewish church, and so there was some confusion. So this leadership authority wanted to help him be more effective to reach all these people, so the controversy would be minimized, they think?
Sure. They wanted them, for the sake of the unity of the church and to help them, that they should go and they should perform, he along with four other men should perform these purification rites. And it even says in verse 27, it says, Paul took the men, he had him take four men, so there were witnesses to this. So it wasn't as if Paul said, I just did this, and they had Paul pay for what it cost to do the purification rites. So this would show Paul's faithfulness. This would show Paul's desire not to be divisive, but instead for Paul to unify. And so Paul went and he did this all. And then it says in verse 26, and Paul took the men, and the next day he purified himself along with them and went to the temple, giving notice when the days of purification would be fulfilled. So he went to the priests, and he said, I just want you guys to know we're doing this, and this is when it ends, and this is what's happening. I'm a man beneath authority. And so Paul is letting them know this. And so when we pick it up in 27, it says, when the 7 days were almost completed. So about a week, there was a week left, and about a week is almost done now here in the life of Paul. And it says, almost completed, the Jews from Asia. And by the way, when Paul would have completed this, this is important that it says 7 days. Now, 7 days was obviously the length of time physically that still had to go before Paul was going to be finished with this rite of purification. But in the Bible, seven is the day of renewal. And so what we're seeing here is that Paul was moving towards this moment where there was going to be no argument about who Paul was. There's going to be no argument about Paul's desire not to be divisive, Paul's desire not to cause division. None of that. And so as this day is coming, as this moment is coming where there'll be no argument, of course, the detractors raise up their voices. And it says, the Jews from Asia, seeing him in the temple, stirred up the whole crowd. This word stirred here is literally the word like stirring in a pot. They began, imagine a pot filled with people, and it's just kind of sitting, and all of a sudden this spoon goes in and starts to shake them up and stir them up. And by the way, you can stir up people pretty easy. Mm-hmm. You can get them riled up pretty easy for the wrong reasons. It's really hard, much harder, to get rile people up for the right reasons. But you can rile people up for the wrong reasons on any given day. And so here they do that, and it says the whole crowd, he stirred up the whole crowd. And so it wasn't just some people, they stirred up a lot of people. So they were getting people against Paul and crying out, men of Israel. So these men are calling upon the most devout of the Jews there. Men of Israel, help. This is the man who is teaching everyone everywhere against the people and the law in this place. Moreover, he even brought the Greeks into the temple and has defiled this holy place. Now, this is interesting because Paul was a Jew, and Paul was entitled to pass beyond the dividing wall into the inner courts, into the temple. There was a death penalty that was applicable if a Gentile would do what Paul could only do, what a Jew could only do. And so the thing that they raise up here, the thing that they bring to the forefront, is they say, we've seen Paul with this man previous, as had previously seen Trophimus, the Ephesian, with him in the city. So the thing is, they're saying, we've seen you with this man, this Gentile, and you're in the temple, so you must have brought him in there. You must have done that. They have no evidence, they have no proof, but they nonetheless stirred up the crowd to such a way that the crowd grabs a hold of Paul, and they begin to drag him out, and they begin to say, well, Paul's been teaching everybody everywhere. Well, Paul hasn't been teaching them everywhere counter to the law. Paul has been teaching them everywhere the fulfillment of the law. Now see, the problem was is that these hard-hearted Jews couldn't see that Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of the law. We see that fleshed out in Romans chapter 7, don't we? Where Paul says, I was Pharisee of the Pharisee. I loved the law. I studied the law daily. But as the law welled the sin up inside me, there was nothing to take care of it. And Paul kind of reaches a crescendo. He says, I want to do the things that I ought not do, but I can't stop doing them because the law can only reveal my sin. It can't take care of my sin. And so Paul says, what a wretched man am I, who can save me from this body of death? Thanks be to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Paul has been preaching not counter to the law, but the fulfillment of the law. He's actually been saying the law is fine. The law brings your sin to the surface, but the problem is it reveals your sin, but it can't take care of your sin. Only Jesus Christ can do that. And these hard-hearted men who loved their sin couldn't stand that Paul was preaching this message. Satan can't stand that you would preach the message of the gospel, that you would actually tell people that there's something they can do with the bad things that they do, that they don't have to simply carry those things around, that there is a man who came and he died upon a cross and he shed his blood for the forgiveness of sins and he rose on the third day and he said, I will carry the heavy loads. You don't have to because you are wearied and burdened. Mm-hmm. And some of you today are listening and you are wearied and you are burdened and you need to hear that message. The message that there is a sin bearer. There's somebody who came who will carry your sin away and wash you white as snow. And his name is Jesus Christ. And so it says there.
We can almost stop the program and say amen. It's all right there. In Jesus Christ, he died for your sins. If you missed out on the Easter message this past Sunday, the resurrection message, the good news message, the gospel message, that God sent his one and only Son, the perfect redemptive plan for each and every one of us as we lean on him, as we draw on him, as we confess our sins and accept him as our Lord and Savior, everything changes.
Right, and listen to me. I don't want to be divisive, because that was what they were saying, that's what Paul was doing. I don't want to be divisive, but in this text is a truth for us, and that truth is that right now, in the age that we live in, things don't look that different than they do from Paul. There are people who are crying out right now and saying, these people are preaching the gospel everywhere, everywhere they go. They're subverting people. They're racist. They're intolerant. They're bigots. Those things are being said about Christians. And the truth is that it may be viewed as intolerant to say that you have sin and that we know who can care for that sin, because it shows our intolerance for sin. It shows our intolerance for people living below their inheritance. I have no tolerance for people who should know that they are sons and daughters of the Most High God, that they have been adopted into the family of God by the work of Christ. I have no tolerance for their sin, and that the lack of tolerance is because I hate the sin. I hate looking at people when this is happening and knowing that God is right there and made himself available to them, and their hard hearts will not allow them to see that. I can feel what Paul must be feeling in this moment. I can feel it. And so this is not something that we're disconnected from. Men of Israel, help. There are groups right now that are crying out, come help us, because these intolerant Christians, they think abortion is wrong. They don't understand that it's just a women's rights issue. No, it's not a women's rights issue. It's a life issue. It's an issue where one life, because of whatever may have happened, whether sinful or not sinful, I'm not going to judge that piece of it, has made a decision to murder a life, to take a life. And in that, a great sin has been committed. And so I have no tolerance for that. That's why I have to stand up and I have to lift up my voice when those things come. But there are people who are doing that, saying, help. And this man is teaching everyone everywhere. Somebody will undoubtedly hear this broadcast today and say, I can't believe he said that. I'm going to keep saying it. And I'm going to say it everywhere, to everyone, every place that I go.
And you'll also say it, it's because of God's love. And like you said,
it is.
People are living below their inheritance. God loves them. God can bring healing and the forgiveness of sin. And we all make poor choices. We all fall short of the mark. But the Lord Jesus Christ, that's why he came, to redeem us, to bring healing and hope and to justify. And because of his righteous acts, we are justified. We can't earn it. None of us are going to make it into heaven on our own. It's because of what he did. It's because he loves us. And whether somebody has had an abortion or even today is maybe even entertaining that idea, God wants to be a part of their lives and bring healing and hope and change.
Yeah, and if I was too hard there, please hear the grace in my message, as Mark said, that I want you to know that the Lord loves you so much that he sent his only begotten Son to the cross, that all might know salvation, that all might be able to come to him and to accept him and to know this great love. And it's a love that transcends the sins that you've done. You'll be washed white as snow, forgiven. So yes, maybe there might be an abortion in your past, or maybe you may have murdered. Maybe, who knows what, you may have stolen. You may have done all kinds of things. But the offer is still there. I said this last week. It is one of the most powerful passages in the Bible for me that I've been reading this week. It is when the angel comes to the women at the tomb, and he says to the women, he says, go and tell the disciples that Jesus Christ is risen. And by the way, tell Peter. And Peter had denied Christ three times. And maybe there's somebody listening right now, and you haven't just denied Christ three times. You've denied him 33 times. Maybe there's somebody listening who's denied him 333 times. But I'm going to tell you, you can't out-sin the grace of God, where grace abounds. And therefore, you may be like Peter. And the message of the Bible, the gracious, loving message of this God, is go tell Peter too. Go tell Peter too. You are not unworthy and outside the kingdom of God because of the things that you have done. You are actually included right after that comma, and your name, and Peter, and you. God desires you. He wants you. He loves you. Stop living below your inheritance. Stop living outside of this kingdom. The doors have been flung open wide. The tomb is empty, and Jesus Christ desires you today. And all you have to do is lay down your own life, your own passions, the things that you think you love more than Christ, the things that you think you desire more than Christ, your own selfishness and your sin. Maybe if that's you today, I just want to prompt you to get on your knees right now. If you're driving, pull the car over to the side of the road. If anybody honks at you, just tell them I'm accepting Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm a sinner in desperate need of your grace. I believe with all my heart that you were born of a virgin, that you lived a sinless life, that you went to the cross and you shed your blood for the forgiveness of my sins. Lord, I am a sinner. And yet, Lord, I believe with all my heart that you rose on the third day victoriously, and you have offered me the free gift of salvation, a gift I don't deserve, but that you have freely given to me. And, Father, that you, in the person of Jesus, rose and ascended, and you are at the right hand of the Father, and you have sent your Holy Spirit to not only be with me, but to be in me. And, Father, I confess my sins now to you, and I ask Jesus to be the Lord of my life. And if you just prayed that prayer with me, I want to welcome you to the kingdom of God. I want to welcome you to the family of God. And we want you to give us a call and let us know that so that we can rejoice with you. Because right now the Bible says all of heaven is rejoicing. All the angels are crying out, hallelujah, the stone has been rolled away.
Cast your cares on him because he cares for you. Maybe you just made that prayer, and we would so hope you would get plugged into a church this Sunday. There are so many great Bible-believing churches throughout our area. Feel free to call us, and maybe we can match you up with a great pastor and get you plugged into somewhere this Sunday. Or if you want to talk with somebody maybe right now about the decision you made, or you had some more questions about having a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, you can dial 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. It's a free call, and these are some great folks that will talk about having a relationship with Almighty God, and they can pray with you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night. I once was lost.